Take all I have in these hands. multiply. God, all that I am, if I my heart on the altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again, set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life gracefully broken. Here I am, God, arms wide.
Phone on now? Ha, it's magic. I didn't even touch anything. I'm Rusty. I'm pastor at New Hope. And several years ago, we had this out in the atrium, and someone said, "What a cool church. There's a hot tub." So we're raffling off. Who would like to have a hot tub experience during the service? Robin? I will tell you, the water's warm. There are no jets. We're doing baptism today, if you hadn't figured that out. This is like a highlight for us in the year. We do it three or four times. I don't remember how many we have in this service, five or so being baptized today. I'm going to explain what it is real quick, and then we're going to pray. The message we've been entrusted with as a church is the most important thing. Style and time and dress, all that kind of stuff doesn't really matter, but the message does, and that is that God loves us. He wants a relationship with us, and we can't have that apart from what he's done for us. And so these people being baptized, we got different ages. It's not a matter of how old you are. It's a matter of understanding why Jesus came. In fact, Jesus said, "Unless you come to me like a little child, you're going to miss me." Children naturally trust. And in this case, each of these being baptized, many of them grown up in a home where they learned about Jesus early. They've been a part of our children's ministry, part of church, and they've come to this decision to accept Christ. And here's what it is: they'll be in the water. You'll see the person baptizing them. They'll take them all the way down and bring them back up. There's two pictures here. The first picture is that the basis of our belief in Jesus is that he came for us, he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. So they go under the water, signifying his death and burial. They come back up, reminding us his resurrection proves he is God. And anything he says, we can trust. The second picture is that they're now saying, my old life, me in charge, I'm burying that, it's gone. And I'm being raised to live this new life with Jesus as my leader. Perfect? No. But a progressive kind of thing where Jesus is now in charge, absolutely. So we want to enjoy this with them, but let God speak to you too. Where do you stand? If you've been baptized, are you living in that new life, or is it something in the past that you need to re-up? I'm really glad we get to do this, and you're going to hear some stories from impact that we've had as a church and families have had too. So let me pray, and then we're going to start our baptism. God, thank you so much that we get to be a part of this. You're working constantly around us, and this is one of those times where the curtains pull back and we get to see what you've been doing. May this be a moment that each of these being baptized will never forget. In Christ's name, amen.
I would share a short letter that I wrote for Madison with you all as a marking this very special occasion. Madison is getting ready to head off to college, and she'll do that in less than 2 months. So our letter to Madison. Dear Madison, as you prepare to head off for college, people will ask you, what's your major? And what do you want to do after college? These are important questions about what you want to do. You're answering these questions with actions, attending Penn State and majoring in elementary education with a focus on special education. You'll be a teacher for students with disabilities, and that's an awesome career choice. There is, however, a more profound question than what you want to be. The question is, who are you? And today, in baptism, you're answering the question, again, by your actions. Baptism is a gift from God. His gift is to plant a little bit of himself inside of us, the Holy Spirit, right inside of us. His Spirit moves in and makes our hearts his home. The effect is that our hearts change. The heart of stone becomes the heart of flesh. Maybe not all at once, but the transition is happening, even if we don't recognize it. Their Spirit inspires us when we're frightened, disheartened, and confused, states which you will find yourself in. The Spirit lives in us and moves us to do the work of God. It becomes our heartfelt desire to live by the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love is the fulfillment, because as John wrote, God is love. So who are you? You're a daughter of God, baptized into his love. Embrace it and share it. Congratulations on your baptism, and may God's joy, love, and peace fill you. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I want to know about her.
harvest.
Well, you can become a Christian from reading the Bible and praying to God, believing He died on the cross for us. And I see people who are lonely and they don't feel good. You know what I mean? I make them have company and be their friend. What game we should play. They need to know He died on the cross for our sins, and He defeated sin, and He rose back 3 days later. My name is Maddie, and I'm getting baptized because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Dang it. I didn't want to cry. Maddie, I love you. I'm proud that you love Jesus and that you want to share with the world of His goodness and love. So I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Pray to Jesus and believe that He is your Savior, and believe that He died on the cross and take away your sins. That He loves you. I am Lincoln, and I am getting baptized today because Jesus is my Lord of my life.
Reagan, I am so proud of the decision that you have made to follow Jesus, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So in case I start falling, he's going to rescue me. Avery and I were talking. This guy, he's going to turn 9 on Friday, so he's got a birthday coming up. He does not lack in self-confidence. And here's my thought. There's going to be a time where people are going to ask you about you being a follower of Jesus, and you will have no problem telling them about it. And that is, we need people like that. Avery's grown up in a home where he was introduced to what a relationship with Jesus is like. He's made his own decision. And that's going to stand you well. And I'm really proud of you. So it is my privilege And I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Because my mom and dad, they believe in God, so I want to believe in God too. To admit that you've done bad stuff, that you can trust Jesus and that you can have a better life believing in Him, and that you're gonna choose to follow Jesus and do better things. So I know that He died on the cross for our sins, and He really loves everybody, even the people who don't love Him. That you should really do it, and that you should believe in Jesus, because He is a great person and He died on the cross for everybody. My name is Allison, and I'm getting baptized today because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Allison, I'm very grateful and overjoyed to share this experience with you today. I know that we might not always agree, but I love you very much, and I look forward to helping you learn and grow in your faith, okay? And when mommy's not there, I want you to lean on Christ to guide you in the right direction. Today, I am happy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We live for you.
just the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. 'Cause you're holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lead me in your love. Oh.
Be seated.
The Ten Commandments were given to us by God to show what He wants for the lives of those who follow Him. They provide a picture of faithful devotion to Him and others. If we are honest, none of us obey them faithfully, which is why we need a pathway to God. That is what Jesus provides us. Accepting Him as our Savior and leader creates a new life, fueled by gratitude and His Spirit. There's more to the Ten Commandments than meets the eye. In this series, we'll dig into them together to gain a better appreciation for God's design for our lives. This week, don't steal.
Good morning. Baptisms are a lot of fun. Anyway, there's a lot going on in my thought bubble. It's all good, but I'll stay on task. Anyway, I'm Rusty. I'm pastor here at New Hope, and if you're on campus or online or later this week on demand, we're glad we get to be together. We're doing a series on the Ten Commandments, which it's the original top 10 list. You hear them, people do this all the time. David Letterman started it. I mean, all kind of top 10s, but this was the very first one. And there are a lot of times when people talk about the Ten Commandments, they think of it as, oh no, restrictions. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that. It's really a backward way of looking at it. It's rather than negative and restricting our freedom, what the Ten Commandments do is God gave them to us so that we could enjoy freedom. Freedom without guardrails is not freedom. It's chaos. And he wanted us to have full lives. So the Ten Commandments are really a gift. The first four deal with our relationship with God. The next six deal with how we relate to each other. And if we follow them, what happens is we're going to build trust in small groups and large groups, even full communities. When we don't do them, when we break them, it destroys relationships, and we can see evidence of that all around. So if you've missed any of these messages, we've done, I think this is the seventh in the series. I really hope you'll go online and you can, for free, you can watch or listen to them. They're really, really important for us. Our society was built, the Ten Commandments was a basis for our legal system. It has had an impact throughout the world, but more than that, it's what it does for you and me. Today's is just four words. You must not steal. And you would think, well, why do you need 30 minutes to talk about that? Let's just stop and go home. I need coffee. It's a little bit bigger deal when you start thinking about this idea of stealing. The word steal, it just means to wrongly take something, actually wrongly take anything that belongs to someone else. And again, we generally think of it in kind of limited terms. I hope that you'll see it a little bit broader. Let me give you an example that's been in the news. Elizabeth Holmes, some of you know of her. She was, up until recently, well, the last several years, she was the founder and the key person behind Theranos, which was a biotech industry that company that was going to set the world on fire. 2015, Forbes said she was the youngest self-made billionaire. A year later, she's on paper broke. And we found out what happened is that she had bilked people out of hundreds of millions of dollars, telling them things that weren't true. And telling them things that weren't true, we talked about do not lie, and then she took their money, which was stealing. And now some of them aren't even getting pennies on the dollar. She's going to be in public housing for the next 11 years. Just got incarcerated in California for what she did. We're surrounded by this kind of stuff. And it's a lot easier to look at others. I'm hoping we'll look at ourselves here. Here's in Leviticus 19:11. It says, do not steal, do not deceive, or cheat one another. Again, that sounds very simple, but I hope you'll see at the end of this that this idea of stealing, it's a lot more than just what we see on the surface. The Greek word for steal is klepto. Some of you are used to that term, kleptomaniac. That's someone that they make their whole life is revolving around stealing other people's stuff. It's been around for a while. I want to read to you from the New Testament. It talks about this and how the other commandments fit into how we relate. It says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. Can you imagine if we left here today? I owe everyone around me my love. Our world would be a little bit different. Actually, it would be entirely different. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commands are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. Jesus was asked one time, he was being challenged, and they said, what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? And he goes, I'm going to give you two. First one, love God with all you are. He said, the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you do that, you're fulfilling all the commands. Remember, we said the 10 divide up. The first four is our relationship with God. The next six, our relationship to each other. We've got work to do on this, but it can be boiled down into simple categories and questions to ask ourselves. Before I do anything, I should say, is this demonstrating love for God? Is this demonstrating love for my neighbor? And if the answer is yes, go ahead and do it. If it's not, put the brakes on. We're going to look at this stealing, and I'm not going to get too much into motives behind stealing, because sometimes people steal because they just want what someone else has. Sometimes they steal because of power. It could be jealousy. It could be wanting to do harm. It could be fear. All kind of reasons for it. But there is no excuse for stealing, taking what rightfully belongs to someone else. And I'm going to go through a list of some things of how we steal from each other. And I just want you to chew on this for a while. The first one, and this is the simple one. In fact, I asked them at 9 o'clock, I said, so when you think of stealing, what comes to mind? And usually it had to do with property. You know, I have something and somebody takes it from me. One person said having your heart stolen, but that's a different message in a different weekend. But usually what comes to mind is property. Someone breaks into your house, or they break into your car, or they take your car. We have shoplifting, which is on the rise significantly. There's also porch pirates, kind of a brand new deal, but people love it when you order from Amazon and aren't home because they feel like this is Christmas for me. That's why a lot of people buy the Ring doorbell and Simply's, all this kind of stuff, because people are helping themselves to your stuff. There's office theft. Oh, that's not really stealing. I'm just borrowing it. Well, you don't have any intention to return it. There's armed robbery, where we know what that's like. There's another kind of, this happens around April 15th. There's a kind of stealing. Well, I didn't declare that income. Uncle Sam doesn't need that. And we justify that. Insurance claims, you know, you're in a wreck and you add a little bit more damage than what was really done in the accident, but you're thinking, well, it's just insurance company. What are they? That's not really stealing, is it? Well, yeah, it is. Stealing property, it happens all different kind of ways. For me, stealing was a part of my life for a long time. I started when I was little. When I was in third grade, I did my first really big steal. There was a drugstore down from my school, and it was Easter, and they had those big chocolate rabbits, not those hollow kind they sell now. This thing was solid chocolate. And I thought, I'm going to go in there and take it because I want it. And I'm not going to run away with it. They'll know I stole it. I'm going to sit outside on the curb and eat it. They wouldn't think, I mean, I was sure they wouldn't think I stole it because I'm out there eating it. I did get caught, and I couldn't have cared less. It didn't bother me at all because stealing for me gave me a rush. It gave me a sense of power, and there were all kind of other things I did that I'm not going to get into it. But nevertheless, I'm aware of property theft. I understand that, but there's another kind of stealing, too, and that's information. This is maybe the personal information that's being stolen is one of the fastest-growing crimes right now in the U.S., maybe the world, but I know it is in the U.S. Do you know 48% of the email you and I receive is spam? And do you know a lot of that is trying to get into your personal information? Someone just hoping that you're going to slip and give them something that's going to help them have access to information about you. Their whole business is that, I mean, like with property theft, you've got Blink and SimpliSafe and all these companies that make a living helping you protect your stuff. Well, now you have people that are going to protect your identification. And this stealing information like that, it's huge. We had this happen not long ago. I had two people on our staff within about 3 months of each other. They called me and said, I got a weird email from you. So that's not new. I can't spell regularly. Well, you know, maybe I, you know, who knows what came out. No, it was saying that you wanted me to buy some gift cards that you could give to the rest of the staff. And Michael was the first one it happened to, and he said, I went back and looked at it. It didn't sound like the way you talk. And it wasn't my email address. And they were hoping that Michael would go out and buy a bunch of these gift cards, get them to me so I could hand them out on his behalf. Someone just wanted that information. I had it happen a few weeks after that again. This happens all the time. People are impersonating. Some of you have had this where someone emails you or texts and it's furious. Oh, I'm in Florida and I had a car wreck and I'm going to be arrested and I need help. I need some money real quick. Can you send it to me? Oh, I got to help them. You know, I don't want them to do that for me. So you Venmo some money to them and find out it never got to where you intended. There are people, and please be careful with this. This is not a public service announcement so much as banks aren't going to ask you to send you your password and account information. Social Security Office isn't going to ask you for the numbers. The IRS isn't going to ask you for that either. But there are people that know where they can send out billions of these emails, and if they just get a fraction of people to respond, they're in the money. And so just be very careful. Don't be cynical, but be very careful about it. Ransomware, that's been a huge increase. The average business, from what I was able to pick up, it's something like $4 million is what they're being held for in ransom. These are businesses. This is not individuals. But because they know they can do it. I'm going to hijack your system, and you're going to pay me your hard-earned money to get it back. I mean, this is happening all around us, and all it is stealing. It may be fancy, and technology is not bad, but it can be used for either good or bad, depending on what your intention is. Here's some other ways that we steal. Taking credit for what someone else did as if it was mine. Some of you have had this happen. You came up with an idea at work, and you told your supervisor. The supervisor liked it so much, they put their name on it, turned it in, they got an award. It can happen at work, it can happen within family systems and where there may not be money involved, but someone gets the credit for it. It wasn't the one that came up with it. Plagiarism is on the rise. Plagiarism happens all the time. I'm going to take someone else's hard work and put my name on it. So maybe it's because I can pass a class that way, I can get honors that way at work, or whatever it is, I have a way to get some credit from someone else's hard work. This happened. I used to be, before I became a pastor, a friend of mine and I had a landscape business in Texas. It was called the Lawn Rangers. Do we have a picture of that? Yeah, this is, and you may think, that's stupid. Well, we liked it. Apparently someone else did too. We had filed for trademark, but before it all got done, it was hard to get a trademark at the time. It just took a long time. And someone else stole our name. They'd seen us at a conference. They took it, and they were using it down in Houston. We were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we tried everything we could, but we couldn't prevent it. All we got was, because we had what they call the right of first use. So no one in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex could use the Lawn Rangers. But it was free game anywhere else. And we never, it didn't like we started the business and think, man, someone's going to really want to steal our name. It never crossed our mind. But this, it happens all the time. There's another way of stealing credit. This has been around a long time, too, and it's a combination of plagiarism and misrepresentation. This is Old Testament Jeremiah 23. It says, "Therefore, says the Lord, I am against these prophets or preachers who steal messages from each other and claim they're from me." This is double dipping in stealing. It happens in my profession where someone will take a message that someone else has given and put their name on it and hope no one is paying attention. The internet really screwed that one up for a lot of people because, you know, you can actually do work on it now. That's happened. A lot of you in school found this out too. Your teachers actually had computers. But in this case, God's saying, not only are you misrepresenting, I mean, you're misrepresenting each other, but you're misrepresenting me. You're taking my name. What should be honored is dishonored. And it's just another way of stealing. And to call it anything else is wrong. I hate it when in my profession that happens. Sometimes it can happen accidentally. I'm sure I'm not creative. I don't really come up with much. Almost everything I have, I've learned from others some way. I try to give credit. Sometimes I forget. But to deliberately plagiarize what someone's done and put your name on it, way, way out of bounds. It's just stealing their reputation. I'm going to have a couple of other categories. And let me just say this up front. I am not a socialist or a Marxist. I have no problem with capitalism in principle, although sometimes it's used poorly, but I think it's a better system than anything else. But let me just say this. This category of compensation needs to be looked at. There are business practices, some legal, some illegal, that end up amounting to stealing. In the Old Testament, here's one. God says this. He says, "How can I tolerate your merchants who use dishonest scales and weights?" Now, in that culture, like, if I'm going to go and buy a pound of flour, they would have a scale, and the guy would put what was supposed to be a weight that was 1 pound. He put the flour on, and when they evened out, I got my pound. Well, what if his weight says 1 pound, but it actually is a half a pound or 3/4 of a pound? I'm thinking I'm getting a great deal. He knows that I'm not, and I'm being ripped off. He is stealing from me. It's stealing when you give less than others pay for or than you've promised. That's just stealing. This is not anti-capitalism. It's just anti-stealing. Taking advantage of someone's trust. Some of you have taken your car in to get it worked on. A lot of mechanics are great, but there are some that have been known to put used parts on the car but charge you for the full brand new part. That's stealing. There's not another word for that. There are some of you that have bought diamonds. What you didn't realize is you got a piece of glass. You're not a gymnologist or whatever you call those people. And the person selling it to you said, well, they liked what they saw. I charged them for a diamond, but they got some glass. That's stealing. I had a neighbor, he's since passed away, but John called me one day and he goes, some guys came over to my house. He's got a small footprint on his roof, and he said, they're gonna give me a brand new roof for $10,000. What do you think of that? I said, John, that's a ripoff. Oh, I hung up. He calls me back a little later. He goes, I got him down to $6,000. John, don't hire those guys. They've already proven what they're made of. John was not a roofer, and he couldn't have gotten on his roof at all. He's kind of landlocked into his living room. He couldn't move around. He wasn't very mobile. They were looking to take advantage of somebody. That's stealing. And somebody will say, oh no, if they have agreed to it, that's okay. Remember what Jesus said is love your neighbor as yourself. Would you want someone to treat you that way? If the answer is no, don't do it. I want to read a passage. This is in James. This is not in the handout, but it is on the screen. It says, and it's, again, this is going to sound like it's busting on all wealthy people. That's not that. This is busting on people that are wealthy, but they've gotten it the wrong way. It says, look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead for you. It's talking about there's going to be a time when God sets the record straight for all of us. It says, your wealth is rotting away and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's army. There are those, because they have the power to, can take advantage of others for their own benefit. And what God wants us is to treat each other justly and rightly. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There is something wrong if my wealth came at someone else's expense wrongly. Taking advantage of others and calling it, well, they agreed to it. That's not an excuse. I'll give another example, and I don't look good in many of these examples, and I'm sorry about that. Becky and I, when we got married, Becky and I are very different. She's got an extremely tender heart. I don't have it like she does. So I used to love negotiating. If someone said, this is going to cost $100, I'm convinced I can get it for $50, maybe $45. To me, it was a game. And So our daughter was about to be born, and we needed a crib. We weren't going to get a new one. Who wants to buy a new one? I know. As long as it didn't have teeth marks on it, I didn't care. And so we went around looking for a crib and found one advertised and went to the house, and this crib was brand new. They had put it together, but these parents had decided that they didn't want their little one to have to be in a crib, so the baby slept with them. I don't agree with that. Anyway, everyone's got their own deal on that. I loved it, though, because the crib was brand new. And she asked a price on it, and I immediately cut it in half, and she agreed. I win. Got a crib, and I got a really good deal. Yay me. We're walking out to the car, and I looked at my bride. She was not really as happy as I was about the deal. She felt like I had taken advantage of this young mom. And she was absolutely right. I didn't care two bits about that mom. I just cared about winning. And I could mark it with the numbers. And I'll never forget this. I walked back in the house and offered her more money. She was stunned. What? We just came up with a deal, and now you're giving me more money? What's going on? Did you find hidden treasure under the crib mattress? God wants us to treat people with respect. And the fact that maybe on paper, maybe legally, we can justify it doesn't make it right. The stealing thing, it really does come back to it. It's a heart issue. Another category would be time or attention. One of the things that happened since COVID and during COVID was a lot of people working remotely. And for a lot of people I know, that's worked out great. It's given them, they spent less time commuting. They have more time to work. They can do things for their family and all that. But there also have been cases, and some of these have caused problems for others, is where people were being paid for a certain amount of time at work, and they were only putting in minus that. If you're being paid for 40, 50 hours a week, how many hours should you put in a week? 40 or 50 hours a week. If you're being paid to get a job done, get the job done. That's the way it should work. That's the deal. If you're not putting in the time that you agreed to, you know what that's called? Stealing. I'm being paid for 40 hours. I'm only going to put in 30 because, well, you know, it's a big company. They can afford it. No, that's stealing. If I think there's something unfair about it, there are processes to deal with that, but if I'm not doing what I've committed to do, I am stealing, period. And that's whether it's the time in, or maybe I'm putting in the time, but I'm not really focusing. I'm not putting the attention that I should to it. It's just stealing. Call it anything you want. But it doesn't make it right. God wants you and I to be people that are known for our integrity and our faithfulness, which means honesty. Along with that goes this thing about opportunities. Sometimes we steal opportunities from other people. And again, you're going to think, this is really getting squishy. I don't know if I like this or not. Let's use work again, and an opportunity comes along, and you don't really want it, but you don't want anyone else to get it because they might advance over you, so you just shut up about it. That's stealing in my book. We need to be careful about this thing. We need to realize that God put us on this planet to love others and to love them like he's loved us and like we want to be loved. So how I use my time, some of us in our families, we justify not spending time with our families or in some cases our friends. And we can say, well, I'm just really busy. But the truth is, it's not that I'm too busy. It's just that I don't want to. I want to do something for me. And if I'm not careful, I'm actually stealing time and attention and opportunity from others. We just got work to do to take this seriously and to think about it the way God does, which is, I think that's our goal, isn't it? I'm going to love God with all I am. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. How does God love me? Now, how can I love those around me? This last one I'm going to bring up, this is strictly for people that have made a commitment to follow Jesus. If you haven't, you can listen but this is not on you. We can be found guilty of stealing from God. And that's something we ought to take seriously too. Listen to what it says here in Malachi 3:8. God's telling the people, he said, begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and offering, that's how. There's some of us that when it comes to our money, when it comes to both our money and our time and all that kind of stuff, it's ours. Every once in a while I might do something in God, but for the most part, it's on me. And God said, that's not the way it works. God gave simple instructions to those that follow him. And this is the very best and the first of my income should be devoted to him and his work. And by the way, I don't know what any of y'all give. I don't want to. So I'm not, if some of you think, oh, he's been looking at the books. Nope. I know what Becky and I give. I don't know what anyone else does. But there are two reasons that we ought to be giving from our finances. The first one is it's an antidote to materialism. Is when I'm giving, it means I'm saying God is number one in my life. He gets the first and the best of what I have. In the Bible, it talks about the tithe, which is the 10%, and offerings, anything above that. And when I do that, I'm saying, God, you are number one. I love you. I trust you. The second important thing is I get to be his partner in what he's doing in funding the work through his church and other ministries. But this idea of robbing God, God said, I have blessed you, but you hoard it for yourself. And that's just like stealing. Again, you can take this up with him, but it's important for us to look at and think about from his perspective. The cure for stealing is generous giving for the right reason. Some people give because they think it's going to buy them credits. That's not how it works. Giving should be an overflow of a heart that's devoted to God and what he wants done in this world. And generosity is really a hallmark of someone that follows him. Four words, you must not steal. Very simple command, but it's got a lot of ramifications. It's, in a sense, it's a little bit like an onion. You get below the surface and you start seeing all kind of ways this can infiltrate our life. One thing I will say that I think is a help, if you realize you've been stealing in some way, however it is, one of the important things to do in that is to consider restitution. I was a brand new Christian, and I knew nothing, and I started getting around people that were helping me, and I met a lady one day, and she said, you know, I think maybe you should consider making restitution to some people you stole from. The most humbling thing I ever remember doing, going to stores, going to institutions, going to people, admitting to them that I'd stolen from them, asking their forgiveness, and then offering to make restitution. There's something about that. It's both humbling, but it's also freeing. And it's, I don't ever regret. I'm not saying everyone has, you know, this is something you pray about, you think about, but taking this seriously, what I didn't want is for any of these people that knew me before I was a follower of Jesus to find out what I'd done and then to blame God for me being such a charlatan. And I'm grateful that I could, and some relationships are restored. It was hard. But anyway, God guides us through all this. Let me pray for us. God, your commands are simple to articulate, but they really do have implications. Help us to take this do not steal seriously, to allow you to sift and sort through our lives. And help us to respond humbly and quickly in Christ's name. Amen. So there's a take-home sheet when you leave. You can get outside either of these doors here. We also have them online for those that are watching us. You can download those with the app or on the website. There's a communication card. We have hard copies of them here, and we have electronic versions. If you're watching this online, the hard copies here, you can fill them out and drop them. They're drop boxes on either side. And if anyone's thinking about giving, you want to find out, most of us give online, some do by check and that kind of thing, but we'll be glad to help you figure out how to do that. We had given up, we had a project we were going to do. I'm looking at Jenny, and I know it was hard. We were going to do this walk for water, because our goal is to build two wells in Uganda where safe, clean water is scarce. The timing for the walk was hard, but we decided we still want to fund these two wells. We're $1,000 away from the first one, so thank you for that. We're still collecting. We'd like to do two wells, and if that's above in your regular giving, but I wish you'd consider it, pray about it, think of it as a gift. Your family gifts, families you won't meet necessarily this side of heaven, but you will one day. And we're going to continue our service. I know we're running a little bit late, but we have baptisms. We don't care.
We have one more song for you if you'll stand with us.
Master. you are now.